right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Wow, so festive. Exciting. Love this time of year.
This is our Christmas episode, right? Because we're not doing one next week.
Oh, I don't know. Are we not doing one next week?
I don't know. It's like Christmas Eve, sir.
Are you guys not doing one next week?
Oh, is this, why?
Is this another? Is this what I'm here?
Hey, is it another OG's corner?
Someone maybe should do a show.
I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to turn around. There's going to be an OG episode out.
Hey, well, where's your family from, Mike?
Where's my family from?
Hey, are you all local?
We are local. You want to get them involved too?
Yeah,
we'll have the whole family.
Yeah, sure. What about little Mike? Is he available?
Oh,
get some nuts and stuff.
My son?
No, the squirrel.
Oh, the squirrel. I thought you were talking.
Or is he dead?
My imaginary son from my imaginary wife. Because I'm a piece of shit.
someone get out the horn.
The Christmas
self-pity party.
Jesus, someone's giving themselves coal for Christmas this year.
Yeah, I deserve it.
So terrible. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 174.
Thomas who?
Exactly.
We'll get
what does
to
that
it.
Mean? Second segment tonight,
that's
folks.
It. Second segment.
That's all the teas that you get. And also coming up tonight, the Just Mike Minute.
Ooh, right. Bringing it back.
Mike will explain to us exactly what he was doing instead of recording episode 171, which was OG solo, solo episode. So we're looking forward to that.
Look forward to
segment two as well.
Cool.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
All right. We got two big things in the news this week. Not really at all. I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want...
And nothing.
Ghostbusters 3 news, or do you want Star Wars news? You can pick.
Oh, I think I'll take Star Wars for the win, Alex.
So, in an interview with Thomas Dolby, who has worked
Thomas
with...
Thomas who?
Dolby? You know.
No, you see, that's a callback, sir, to the title.
Right. But that
show.
Isn't the Thomas we're talking
I
about.
I know. I'm saying.
Okay.
God.
So...
Way to go, joke killer.
Mr. Dolby, who has worked with George Lucas in the past, was recently giving an interview talking about some projects that he was working on. And in this interview, he makes reference to him talking to George about some upcoming video games and some upcoming animated stuff. and the new upcoming Star Wars movie.
Just off the cuff.
But that was it. But no one knows what he's talking about. I think it was a slip up on his part. Meaning, I don't think there is a Star Wars movie upcoming.
I do.
Oh, unless it's another animated feature.
Nope.
You think he's doing another live action?
2-hour live pilot for the TV show.
Maybe.
Thank you.
That could be it. Like he did for Clone Wars.
But live.
But live. Oh, that's what I mean is.
Well, that's supposedly still in the pipeline, isn't it?
That is. I haven't heard that it's canceled, so.
I haven't heard that it was canceled either. I didn't check my brand new Star Wars Insider this week to see if there's any nuggets of info to be dug.
I highly doubt it.
It's a good magazine.
So. And it is a good magazine. I don't subscribe any longer, but it's a good magazine.
When you're Imperial Junkie, good magazine.
Have you seen the Tauntaun sleeping bag?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Did you see it just, Mike?
No, it is the rage of the internet. It's all over the place.
It is maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen from Star Wars that is not an action figure or sculpture of some sort. They have made it looks like a grayish, whitish sleeping bag.
Right.
Right? It's got a Tauntaun head on the top of it, like plush for the pillow. And it's got the little tail sticking off, and it may have
arm on the top.
Tail sticking out, little leg, right? And when you unzipper it, it's the pinky, grossy looking intestines on the inside of the Tauntaun. And the zipper puller is a lightsaber.
It's fantastic.
A little lightsaber. It's awesome. Here's the problem with it.
Okay.
I am 6'5".
Okay, that is a serious issue.
The adult size one would come up to my, I think would come up to my nipples. So I don't think it's, unfortunately, I don't think it's a feasible product for me to have. This is one of those moments where I wish I had a child. This would be one of those moments. Because I would love to be able to get this thing to appreciate it in person. But what am I going to do? Get the thing and put it away for a number of years until I have a kid or OG has a kid or just Mike has a girlfriend? No.
Oh.
I have to enjoy it from afar on the interweb.
It's got a leg too.
I said that. I said
an arm and a leg, tail. It's fantastic.
It looks like a dead Tauntaun laying on its side, but flat.
Yeah, like someone has steamrolled
cartoon steamrolled over it. And the head is a pillow, right?
The head is a pillow, the lightsaber is a zipper pull.
Crazy. That is crazy. That is an ingenious product.
So if you're interested in the Tauntaun sleeping bag, I believe if you head over to ThinkGeek, they have them for sale over there.
Star Wars Shop.
Oh, Star Wars Shop has them also?
Had them first, I think, also. Right, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what a great thing. I wish we had one. Then we would have a product segment tonight.
That's true.
Where we do not. So.
All right. So let's segue then into Ghostbusters, since that was the other of the two options. So in an interview with one Sigourney Weaver talking about Avatar, they asked her about Ghostbusters 3, and she says,
Avatar is a great movie. I'm very happy to be a part of it.
Yes.
Was that her answer?
Yeah. She says that she doesn't have a big part in the film, Ghostbusters 3, but thinks that Bill Murray has a bigger part. And then...
Then she does.
Well, duh.
Duh.
Then she puts her hands to her mouth and kind of faux whispers, he might be playing a ghost. And then kind of just leaves it at that and moves on with the Avatar portion of the interview. So everybody is in a buzz about, what does that mean? Is he playing a ghost? I think it's just her fucking around.
Is it Bill Murray is dead?
Everybody's dead, Dave.
Bill Murray is the ghost?
I don't know.
That's weirdo, man.
It's silly.
Well, they're all getting kind of old. I think people are going to be pleasantly unsurprised when Harold Ramis hits the screen and Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God.
Fat, old, gray Harold Ramis. Such a departure from the skinny, thin, lanky, fresh-headed fellow who took the screen in the other two movies.
Yeah, this is more like Stay Puft.
Wow.
Yeah, rough.
Like he ate Stay Puft.
That's it.
And then it looks like he aged 25 years. Well, yeah.
Well, right. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. The book is doing fabulously well, and now I understand a movie is in the works.
That is true.
Uh-huh.
And have you heard who's on board so far for this film?
I did, but I don't want to blow your moment, so go ahead.
Natalie Portman.
Hot.
Set to star and co-produce the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, along with Richard Kelly, director of my favorite movie, Donnie Darko.
Is that who's going to direct that flick?
I think he's going to be.
Or is he going to produce it?
I think he's going to be producing it along with Natalie Portman. He's not directing, as far as I know. And thank God, because Donnie Darko, piece of shit. So there it is.
I don't think Donnie Darko is a piece of shit, sir. However, I think there's a lot of potential here, but I think they need the right director. I don't know who that director is.
Is it George
Romero?
Is he too old? No, I think George Romero is running. I think he's wore out his zombie welcome. He's got another zombie film coming.
Sir, he's the godfather of the zombie movie.
But from what I understand, and I haven't seen it, but Land of the Dead, was that the last one?
Yeah,
or Diary of the Dead or whatever? Did not do very well.
No,
and he's got another one coming now.
That's because if he goes to anybody, he's like, I want to make a zombie movie, everybody will put up money.
Everybody says yes, but they don't
read the
script.
Because they all clean up, sir, on the DVD end.
Oh, well, they clean up. Look, if Romero's tied to a zombie film, they clean up on the box office, too. It does well.
I'll give you this. How about the guy who directed Shaun of the Dead?
To do Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Too funny?
Who directed that?
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't Simon Pegg, was it?
He wrote it.
He wrote it, but he didn't direct it.
I don't know. What were the other? Zombieland, I heard, was a very good flick.
Yeah, but there's going to be a sequel to that, though.
Those are all,
in 3D.
Those are all heavy comedy zombie movies.
Edgar Wright directed Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, Edgar Wright, that's it. And, you know who I'm thinking? Though he'll never take the gig now, but he's too big? Zack Snyder.
You know, that was a name that came to mind for me, too. And then I thought, well, how is he going to handle...
Because he did the remake of shopping mall.
I wonder, can he handle the drama aspects of this, maybe? I guess so.
It's a zombie movie, sir.
I understand. But it's semi-dramatic. From what I understand, based on the book, there's
absolutely no dramatic moments in 300 or The Watchmen. No dramatic moments.
I understand. But those are not traditionally drama movies.
Why? Because they have masks on?
No. You would honestly consider both of those movie drama movies? Dramas?
You wouldn't say there was dramatic elements in Watchmen, sir?
Not what I said.
I don't know, sir. I think you're...
not what I said.
You're covering your ass.
All right. Are you ready for this week's reimagination?
Ooh, look. He did it right. He got the jingle. What is it?
MTV is assembling a cast for its reinvention of the 1985 film Teen Wolf. In which the people who have been cast so far are no one you would know from anything.
Okay. So they're going to remake Teen Wolf with a bunch of unknowns.
Right. And based on what I had read, it doesn't sound like he's going to be a Teen Wolf.
Okay.
A la Michael J. Fox's Teen Wolf. It revolves around Scott McCall, a dorky high school student who gets a rush of new powers, including the ability to attract girls after a wolf attack.
Okay.
So to me, that sounds like they're glossing over the whole werewolf portion of it.
Right.
And he's just going to
get some powers.
Get some powers that he's been imbued with as a result of a werewolf.
Nice use of the word imbued.
Right. Like that?
Yeah.
Nice. So I think that this will die, much like the MTV remake of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, one would hope. No Michael J. Fox?
No.
Is he a little shaky?
I don't think he's going to make it.
A little bit. He tried to sign the contract, but...
Oh.
Wow.
Yikes.
I thought my joke was bad. Yours was just cruel.
I was going to go there, but I thought it might offend. No stop signs in sight, sir.
Do you want to be really offended?
Yes.
Because I could really offend
you're not
you
offending
right now.
Me, sir.
No, I could really offend you. I could offend your senses as a geek. As someone who is about... to embark on a journey back into Middle Earth, as I know that you are.
Yes.
You're getting ready to reread Lord of the Rings. Are you starting with The Hobbit, or are you jumping right into Lord of the Rings?
No, I'm going to save The Hobbit. I'm just going to start with The Fellowship.
No, sir. No, sir. I got to protest.
You got to start with that.
I've read The Hobbit. It's not like I haven't read these books before.
No one's saying you haven't read them, but it is inappropriate to start at Lord of the Rings and not read The Hobbit first.
So, well, then if we're going to go by that, I should read The Silmarillion before.
No one should ever read that.
No, we're really? Talking about we're talking about the popular text, not the apocrypha that was assembled after his death or
by his son.
Yeah,
I got volumes six and nine of Silmarillion for spending more than $30 at Stop and Shop.
I enjoyed it. I it's one of my shortcomings. I really enjoyed that, but.
I feel I have to press upon you the importance of reading The Hobbit before you read the Lord of the regular books.
Well,
I think there's a lot of important precedents that
besides, what will it take you to read
book?
The Hobbit? And after that,
The
Hobbit's
like
a quick
fucking
one.
An hour. Yeah. It's like you read comics that are longer.
You can read
than
it
the
on
Hobbit.
The can.
That's true.
It word. Yeah. So I do all
God
my
knows
quality
that's
reading.
The truth.
All my reading without pictures on the can.
On the can.
Nice.
What was about that?
Well, according to the Latino Review, which is a website that is normally pretty accurate when it makes casting rumors.
The Latina Review.
Latino Review.
Okay.
You said Latina.
You said Latina.
Whatever.
Okay, so there's...
Someone is in talks.
Is it a Latino?
No.
What the fuck is
that? That's
Latino?
Just their website. It's okay. A website. It's all a, right, all right. It's a movie geek. It's like, you know. Anyway.
But it's called Latino.
I understand. To play Bilbo Baggins. Neither of you have... I can't believe neither of you have seen...
Are you talking about Tobey Maguire?
I am talking about Tobey Maguire.
Sir, theonerring.net shot that down.
Was that this afternoon?
Yes, I heard that.
Because it was only yesterday that I read about
it was this
Toby.
Yep.
He's too young.
But not only that, he's Tobey Maguire. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, what were you saying? That Tobey Maguire couldn't do it? I think Tobey Maguire is a great actor. Go see that movie,
Brothers.
Brothers.
He got nominated for a Golden Globe for that.
Listen, nobody that got nominated for a Golden Globe necessarily deserved
let's,
it.
Let's
some people
let's hold off on
some clearly did
I agree.
Not.
Let's hold off clearly. On the Globe praise if we can, just Mike, until segment two.
All right. Well, apparently that has been debunked, but I didn't read that on One Ring, so
well, I'm glad.
That's good to know.
I'm glad because I mean, not for nothing. I'm not saying he can't do it. I don't think he's a good fit for it. You know, Matt. Since we're talking about this, I have to do this. Everybody keeps asking me, so this is where I stand. Let us emphasize once again that in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. In Fellowship of the Ring, when Gandalf sees Bilbo, he says, "You haven't aged a day." And theoretically, it's not that he hasn't aged a day, because that's a little too literal, but it's that he hasn't aged significantly considering the time span. Because, as you see, once the ring is not in his possession, he actually does age up to the age that he's supposed to be.
Right.
So, if we conclude that the Lord of the Rings series of movies takes place over, what did we decide way back then? Is that 1 year, those three movies,
no,
or is it like
be.
6 months?
It's got to be more than a year.
Well, anyway, it's some block of time. And so the difference between Bilbo in Fellowship and Bilbo in Return of the King is the aging that should have occurred in between the end of The Hobbit and Fellowship. We all agree on this?
I agree.
So, therefore, it's not that he hasn't aged. It's that he's aged very slowly. So, therefore, you need to match up that Bilbo person with Ian Holm in some way that it would make sense that whoever this person is has become Ian Holm by Fellowship of the Ring. That's why, again, I'm going to say they should get James McAvoy, make the boy's career, and give him
Mr. Tumnus
flick. And that is where I stand. There it is, and that's where I stand on the whole casting of Bilbo Baggins.
Nothing. Fine.
Anyone?
No.
There you go.
That's it.
Fine.
That's it.
I'm glad he's been debunked.
It's at least like 3 or 4 years.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm looking up the timeline. It's got to be at least 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, the first movie almost spans like a year and a half, I think. In actual time.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But I figured a year, the whole thing, year and a half at best, but I guess not.
That's why Aragorn does not we had this discussion once. Aragorn's like 100 something years old.
Yeah, Aragorn's not a human.
It starts in 3018, in the year 3018 in Middle Earth, and finishes in the year 3021.
That's so it's 3 years. Yeah. So it's a year per. I said, what I say? A year
you
and
said
a half
year
per,
for all three.
Oh, I what I meant was what I meant was per film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, yeah. About a year per. Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Miller.
Uh huh. Noam.
300.
Uh huh. Seen it.
Prequel.
Yeah, heard about it.
Xerxes.
What about
it's going to be called?
It's going to be called Xerxes.
It's going to take place, I think, 10 years prior to the events that take place in 300, involving the Battle of Marathon.
Okay, what happens there?
I don't know. Xerxes fights. I don't believe Leonidas is involved.
No,
clearly.
I don't believe so.
So that's what
it's Xerxes
gonna be
will be the hero of this picture? What was the Battle of Marathon? Look it up.
It involves the citizens of Athens against the Persians. And the actual battle, apparently, Xerxes, not so much involved.
Okay.
But look, this is, you know, this is Frank Miller's universe. It's different.
Frank Miller's universe was at least based on some shit, though.
Okay. Well, the Persian force during the Battle of Marathon was commanded by Datis and Artaphernes.
Okay.
Not Xerxes, but again, you know.
Did they make any mention of Xerxes?
I don't see any Xerxes mention of Xerxes in this.
So weird.
And so, and we
battle
should
turn the war or something?
Well,
what
I guess is the significance? I guess it leads up to the Battle of Thermopylae, which is 300, right?
I guess.
So there it is. And he's doing it's. This is not just for the screenplay, which originally I thought it was just going to be for the film. Apparently he's doing the book, too. He's doing a comic book, and then the film will be optioned, hopefully by Zack Snyder, who's already expressed interest, naturally.
Of course.
So there it
is. I guess we'll see. Hmm.
And then video game news.
Oh, God.
We have some. It's not often that we have video game news.
Just Mike is about to fly out of that chair.
I'm gonna let him announce it. He's so excited. He's like bouncing child over there on Santa's knee.
So the exciting thing about this week, in case you haven't heard, is that
I heard
at the Video Game Awards, a trailer unsuspected by anyone, a trailer for a sequel to Batman: Arkham Asylum.
Holy
shit!
My
God.
First of all, we should say that the most exciting part about this, at least at this point so far, is that there is a sequel to Batman Arkham. that's it. Because arguably, it's one of the best games of the year.
Yeah, easily.
In a long time. Most people would agree that the combat engine is fantastic. The graphics were phenomenal. And the storyline was top-notch in the Batman verse. So the trailer, it breaks away from Arkham Asylum. Breaks away from the island and gets to the mainland.
Right.
Is that what you gather from that trailer as well?
Yes.
It breaks into Gotham?
Yes.
It?
The storyline.
Oh.
Arkham Asylum, the first game, pretty much just takes place on the island where the asylum is.
Right.
This actually looks like it leaps past that into Gotham.
Okay.
The Joker is back, obviously. And so is Harley Quinn.
Yes, she
happy
is
to say. And the trailer really doesn't show much. It's just enough to really make you excited.
Now, I had heard today on the news, in our news, that that
you mean not CNN?
Not CNN.
Yes, on CNN.
This is CNN's Wolf Blitzer, and you're in the Situation Room.
Hi, I'm Wolf Blitzer. Coming up on the Situation Room, breaking news, Batman Arkham Asylum 2 will feature the Joker. We'll talk to our expert team of analysis, the best political team on television, to discuss the pros and cons and what President Obama thinks of the Arkham Asylum sequel.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
I'm Wolf Blitzer. This is CNN.
I'm working on that one.
That was good. No, that was good. Really good. but they announced that it will not be a sandbox game, which is, I think, a good thing. Because I think when you do that, the reason why Arkham was so good is because didn't try to overdo itself.
Define sandbox?
GTA. Free roaming.
Free roaming.
Oh.
So, Arkham Asylum, you have a certain amount of freedom, right. But there is a very distinct
path.
And really, you do the most free roaming, I would say, probably after you beat the game.
Right, yeah.
And when you go back trying to collect...
Building the building.
The riddles. Yes. The riddles.
So, will Arkham Asylum be more... The Arkham Asylum sequel, will it be more like, say, a Grand Theft Auto?
No, that's a sandbox.
No, it's going to be... It's not going to be a sandbox.
Oh, not
It's going to be... It's still going to have a certain amount of
focus,
which is, you're right, that is good. It did lend a lot to that game. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, that was, like I said earlier, when you were saying, you know, the second Arkham Asylum, that was just tickling my fancy a little bit.
You tickled Mike's fancy.
That's disgusting. So, there it is. I think with that, we probably could take our first break.
Okay, let's do that, and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 174, Thomas who?
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Frank Miller from Some Very Dark Place, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 174.
Ho, ho, ho.
No. Thomas Who?
Is he one of the Whos from Whoville?
No, he's not from Whoville.
Is he like the dad of Sally Lou Who?
No.
Right, just saying.
But if you want to try to convince us that he is one of the Who from Whoville.
No, I don't want to. He's as dumb as one.
You could give us a call at our hotline, 425-920-6050. Leave us a voicemail. Ask us questions. Try to convince Big Kev that Thomas Who is from Whoville. And
Sally Who.
Why don't we move right forward?
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
DVDs to check out this week include the Quentin Tarantino soon-to-be classic Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you haven't checked it out, I mean, it's apparently amazing. Just Mike, you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Thumbs up. If you like Quentin Tarantino, and first of all, you know I want to do horrible things to Diane Kruger. So there you go.
And in true DVD fashion, there are 57 different versions of this film available. There is the single disc, the two disc, and the Blu-ray two disc special. So,
that's what I got. I got Blu-ray two disc.
So
can't watch it, but I got it. This week, The Hangover, unrated Blu-ray special edition. This was that enormously popular comedy that really starred nobody of significance at the time. Now, of course, all these guys are appearing here, hither and thither.
What's his name was on The Office already.
Ed Helms,
yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was no, you know, Bradley Cooper's in it also. Now he's right. in everything. You know,
Zach
like
Galifianakis.
Yeah, he was in it. The Asian guy from the King. He was the King from what you call it.
I don't know. You tell me.
Role Models.
Oh, yes, yes. I know
that guy was in it. He's very funny. So it's a great flick. Check it out on the Blu-ray.
Also out this week, Star Trek, the original series, season 3 on Blu-ray. This is, again, that fancified, special effects-driven version of the original series.
Right, where, as we've said before, you can either watch the original effects or you can watch the brand new special effects. What a terrific thing. I want to actually watch them both ways. Like, I would watch, like, the episode, and then I would watch the episode again with the new effects. That's how excited I am about that.
For the Disney fans out there, G-Force is out this week, regular edition and Blu-ray.
For the Disney fans?
Yeah, it's a Disney film.
How about for the people who smoke crack fans? Because that movie stunk.
It looks ridiculous, but, you know, it's out. Maybe there's someone out there who wants to watch it.
Wasn't it like a Michael Bay picture, too, or something?
But with hamsters?
Yeah. Was it? No, literally. Didn't he produce it or something crazy?
The Tudors, season 3. Robot Chicken, season 4.
Not on Blu-ray, either one of
Neither
those.
Neither of those.
Which is
not available on Blu-ray. The Mel Brooks collection.
Which is on Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray.
Let's talk about that for a minute. They put out a collection previous to this. A lot of complaints about two films being missing. Three films, really. But two of them nobody complained about. And two of them people were like, why aren't they in here? One was Spaceballs.
Right.
And the other was the original Producers.
Right.
Right. So they have halfway corrected themselves this time. It looks like Spaceballs is actually in this collection, but the original Producers is not, which is a little baffling.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
Right? That said, the two films that were omitted from the previous set, I think, and this set also, are Dracula Dead and Loving It and Life Stinks.
Right.
Both of which were absolute horrid pieces of shit.
Yes.
I like Leslie Nielsen.
Do you?
You know, we could kick you off the show, right?
That has one, you know that movie had one joke in it. One joke in it. She is Nosferatu. She's Italian? That was the one joke in that whole movie that I was like, that's kind of funny. But the rest of it just stunk.
Also out on DVD this week, exclusive to Amazon.com, The Max.
Yeah, that's
and The Head.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Two MTV series.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. I'm really excited about The Max.
Are you?
I've really wanted a DVD version of that that's legitimate for quite some time.
Right.
And it'll be nice to finally own that in my possession.
Mm.
So there it is.
Nice. Yeah, I actually like The Max. I've just never had a legit copy of it before. I think it's been boot available for years and years. A staple.
That's what I mean. I've had a boot of it, but, you know.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Right into it.
To check out this week. While a ton of comics came out this week, there are but a few worth mentioning. And one of them is X-Factor 200.
Doo-doo-doo. Wow, that book's still around?
And not only is it still around, but 200 is amazingly good? Thick. At $4.99, it's got like a gozillion pages.
Did they take some of the extra pages from Wizard and implant
this
them?
This comic has more pages than any Wizard publication in recent memory.
In recent history.
But that said, you know what? To me, it seems like this book should have been around longer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's like 200. This book came out in like, didn't this book come out in like the 80s?
Yeah, but remember it started and it stopped and it started and it stopped like a half a dozen times.
Really? How Marvel of it to do that.
Well,
in any event, the current team is pretty good. Mike, you reading this one?
No, I don't.
This is,
Who is the current team? Anybody we know?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are currently in the book. Longshot's in the book.
Oh, nice. I like Longshot.
Who you might know. Madrox, the Multiple Man.
Yep.
Is in there. Also, Shatterstar. Remember him?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some dudes.
Wasn't Shatterstar in, wasn't he in X-Force?
He was in X-Force.
And then Rob Liefeld ripped him off and created that Youngblood character?
Yeah, sort of.
Ripped himself off?
Well, except that he
created a Youngblood character?
You know, Siren is in here also.
Oh, wow.
God. The daughter of Banshee.
Yeah.
Monet St. Croix, who is, you remember her from the original New Mutants.
Okay.
Do you remember her from the
original? No. Was that her mutant name, was Monet St. Croix? Oh.
How about Guido?
Big guy? Not big guy. Strong guy.
Yeah, he's still around in the book. How about Richter?
I remember Richter.
Remember him? He shooks the ground.
Okay, vaguely.
Yeah, I think you would remember him if you saw him.
Probably.
Long shot we mentioned. And the reason I'm able to tell you is because there are Marvel Universe handbook style pages about all of these characters. Included in this book, so you can get a whole little history of the team. Isn't that nice?
Very pleasant.
Isn't it? Batman, 80-page giant number one. Gotham freezes over. Gee, who could be the villain in this book?
Killer Croc.
No. Actually, it's a bunch of different stories, it would seem. Yes, it is. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 different stories. Wow, that's a good deal of stuff. A variety of writers and artists helping you check out what happens in different situations when Gotham freezes over. What a terrific book. Nice. Another terrific book starring Batman would be Batman 694. Mike, did you get around to reading this one
yet?
Yes,
I did, sir.
What can you tell us? Anything? Can you spoil it for us?
Well, it has to do with Reaper, and there's a break. There's a whole thing going on with a pharmaceutical lab, and Batman is investigating it. In the last issue, a kid got shot in the head, and spoiler alert, he actually dies.
No, he doesn't. He'll be back.
Yes,
he does.
They always come back.
He's not a character, sir.
Oh, he's a red shirt?
He's just a
red
shirt.
He is a red shirt, yeah.
Are they preparing for the return of Bruce Wayne?
Not right now. No,
no, not yet.
In each series, they're knee deep in Dick Grayson, in the three that he's headlining.
It's kind of like your dream, isn't it?
Oh, Dick all over the place.
Dick. Oh, yes, Marvel.
Is that the Just Mike minute that I just missed?
No.
Sorry, I faded away there.
No. That's coming up though. It's Vengeance of Moon Knight. Vengeance of Moon Knight,
wow.
Number 4. So, yes, from Marvel, this continues the great, what I say is a great rebirth of a character that a lot of people give a lot of crap to. But I think the Moon Knight stuff in the last, year? Terrific. So there it is. Check out issue 4 of Vengeance of Moon Knight. And you had a couple over there.
I had two books that I picked up last week that I just wanted to mention had come out. First is the IDW, who we talk about a lot on this show, who they've got this knack of bringing back titles that we really love in a comic book form. And
right.
That would be Ghostbusters, Past, Present, and Futures of the book. I haven't actually given it a read yet because I picked it up a little late, but it looks pretty good. And I'll report back on it. The other one was The God Complex, which is... Oeming's new book.
Okay.
And it kind of feels like The Powers a little bit, but it's about Apollo.
Right.
You know, the god.
Yes.
Who kind of decides to leave the League of Gods and become immortal.
Uh-huh.
And what that means. The first issue was pretty good. It was decent read. I'll definitely pick
There's
up issue 2.
There's a movie coming out that's like that. Something, and the something. I don't remember what it is. Something in the lightning or...
No idea what you're talking about.
There is. There's a movie coming out where this kid is... And there's gods. And the gods are real. And he's like one of them. And it's like something in the lightning, something. Or
okay.
Nothing?
No.
Okay, good. And finally tonight we want to talk about a terrific book also from IDW, if you can imagine. It's The Rocketeer, The Complete Adventures. It's an oversized slipcover edition collecting The Rocketeer and The Rocketeer Cliffs New York Adventure. The Masterpiece by the late Dave Stevens. The collection also contains more than 130 pages of supplemental material, including sketches, preliminaries, character designs, script pages, photographs, and original art pages, as well as commentary by Dave Stevens and several of his peers who occasionally assisted him on The Rocketeer. So if you're a Rocketeer fan, it is the Rocketeer must-have product this year. I'd say at least one of them. Got to say that Sideshow Quarter Scale's got to be the other one.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It is pretty.
Is that ordered for me, I wonder?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know it's ordered for me.
Did you order it?
No.
Oh, because I did or want to. I think I did. Oh, well, in any event, check it out, Rocketeer. Do we have an email? Or rather, a website for IDW that people can check this stuff out at yet? I don't know what it is. IDW.com?
IDWpublishing.com is their website. So you can go there and check it all out.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, the Just Mike Minute.
So as you know, episode 171 was the OG Ed Cock Friends special minute thing. So what I did was, you know, I was on the Friday that he recorded, I woke up and I woke up in tears, and after I pulled myself out of the garbage can, I then went to take a shower, and as I was walking to take the shower, I looked into the mirror, and then I cried in the mirror for about 3 hours. So once I was done with that, I went and sat down and sat by the phone in a dark room in a corner for about the rest of the day and waited for OG to call. And once I was done with that, I went back to the garbage can that I live in, and finally I got a text message from OG going, "Hey, Just Mike, I recorded a show all by myself. It's going to be great, and it's going to be posted on the internet." And at that point, I banged my head against the wall so many times that I forgot who I was, pissed myself, and laid back into the garbage can.
And that was the Just Mike Minute. Wow.
What? I missed it, huh?
Maybe you should have called him.
What? I'm in the bathroom.
I missed it. Maybe you should have been a friend and
reached out to
Just Mike when you were doing the solo G show and let him sit in.
Yeah, no.
He's going to get a venereal disease, and it's going to be your fault.
Well, look, I didn't know that you could catch that from livestock, but hey.
He's going to get robbed by his mail-order bride, and that's going to be your fault.
All right.
I'm just saying.
So now on to
Golden Globes.
Other things.
Golden Globes.
You know, things that matter.
Golden Globes.
Ooh, Golden Globes.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
I slept in a garbage can.
I'm a little harsh today,
aren't you? I'm just going back to the show. I'm trying to get us back on track, you know?
With your little digs and asides.
To
and
focus on Thomas Jane.
You mean Golden Globe nominee Thomas Jane?
Golden Globe a nominee Thomas Jane.
Fuck the Golden Globes. There it is. They're done. This is the year the Golden Globes are done.
For...
Best actor in a comedy series, isn't it?
Yes.
For Hung, the worst piece of shit TV show I've ever seen.
I don't understand.
It's so much better than The Big Bang Theory and the Emmy-nominated, what's his name?
Jim Parsons,
who plays Sheldon. Yeah, much better than that.
Instead, they gave it to Alec Baldwin. There's a shock.
Well, listen,
I love 30 Rock, but I don't know. Give someone else a shot.
It's not even... I'm sure Alec Baldwin would probably say that himself. And he's quitting acting in 2 years anyway.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. Yeah. Said it was like national news.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, like when his contract's up, I guess, with 30 Rock, I guess he's done. Which is dumb, I think, but who knows? Maybe he'll change his mind between now and then, but I doubt it. He certainly seemed depressed and serious enough. But that said, the man deserves the fucking nomination.
Okay.
He's brilliant on that
Steve
show.
Steve Carell in The Office?
Always brilliant on The Office.
David Duchovny, Californication.
Yeah, see, right here is where you start hitting the slope. You know what? It's just not a good show. That's not a good show, and that's not a good nominee. Considering, I just think that. All right, so we got two really big ones from regular TV, and now we got to throw Cable a couple of bones. And bones they are. And that's one.
And Thomas the other, Jane and Hung?
The other bone right there is in that piece of shit show Hung. Didn't that fucking, did that thing get canceled? Isn't it not coming back or
something? I don't know. I don't even follow it or know anything about it.
Piece of garbage.
And then Matthew Morrison for Glee.
Because that's the new kid on the block. So there you go. It's like two for regular TV, two for cable, and, you know, some fresh new thing. There it is. Because let's face it, the other two are old. The first two are old because Carell and Baldwin have been at this dance before. The other two are new and stupid and cable and bones, and the other kid's new. That's what it is.
All right. How about best performance by an actor in a television series?
Uh-huh.
Simon Baker for The Mentalist. Okay. I have a problem with this list, too, because there's someone who's not on here that
I got
think
no,
deserves to be on.
I got never seen The Mentalist, so I got no.
Michael
got no.
C. Hall for Dexter.
Okay. That's okay.
John Hamm for Mad Men. Those two kind of make sense to me. They're not a surprise.
Okay.
Hugh Laurie for House.
Duh.
And Bill Paxton for Big Love.
Why?
I don't know. Why is John Noble not on that list for Fringe? Why is he not on that list?
Because he's a supporting actor.
Oh.
That's why.
Yeah, but there is no supporting actor category.
Exactly.
And it's just best performance by an actor.
Uh-huh.
Is the best performance by an actor.
Okay. I guess would be that would be the logic there.
Oh, there's a supporting actor category.
Is there? I didn't think
there
was.
It's for like show, miniseries, movie. They bunch it all into one category.
Oh, okay.
Categories are retarded too.
Well, why don't we talk about, I don't know, best motion picture nominated in the drama category?
Okay.
Avatar. I am shocked by this. I haven't seen it. So maybe it's amazing.
Okay.
But based on what I've seen, I still can't. I don't get how it could be amazing. maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
I don't get it either.
I hope that I'm wrong, but it looks like a pretty shellacked, bedazzled turd.
Yeah, it does.
That's what it looks like.
Like somebody shined up shit.
Is that right? I mean, it looks like it's going to be the kind story, of pretty, but...
The story doesn't seem like crazy in any way.
Look, maybe I'm wrong
or new,
again, but
and nothing about it seems like it should be garnering all of this interest and attention. You know, and isn't Cameron up for director as well? Like, really? Like, I'm confused. And I hope when I walk out of Avatar, I'm like, oh, okay, and now I see where they're coming from. But I just don't, from everything I've seen so far, I just don't see it.
Other films in that category include The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yes.
And Up in the Air.
Right. That's the...
That's
Clooney
the Clooney
movie.
One.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they're saying a lot of stuff about.
So that was that.
Not Up.
No, Up was up for Best
Animated right.
along with Coraline, The Fantastic Mr. Fox,
right.
The Princess and the Frog, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Even though Up was better than most of the movies mentioned in the Best Film category. Sucking the fucking Golden Globes suck.
But you know Up is going to walk away with animated feature. None of those are going to beat it. Unless they give it to Mr. Fox, which could be the black sheep sneaking
it.
From behind.
I doubt it.
They're not going to give it to Coraline.
Which, no, they're not. But you know. I would be more surprised, though. I would not be surprised if The Princess and the Frog won.
Okay.
I'd be upset, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Just because there'll be this return to 2D animation
push? No, it's not even that. It's all about, I'd say more about the whole, you know, inclusive subject matter controversy about there being a black princess and the whole thing is kind of an Afrocentric situation.
Best director of a motion picture, Kathryn Bigelow for The Hurt Locker, James Cameron for Avatar, Clint Eastwood for Invictus, which looks like a piece of shit.
Invictus? Jason,
yeah, that's the one with
Nelson
Morgan
Mandela,
Freeman.
Yeah. That looks like a good flick.
Really?
My problem with it, though, is He's up. It's up for best director, but not picture.
Yeah, but that happens. That's
I know. It just that it always bugs me.
Jason Reitman for Up in the Air and Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Best screenplay. We got District 9.
Hey.
The Hurt Locker. Inglourious Basterds. Up in the Air. And It's Complicated.
Yeah, so you can yay. About yay is about all the glory that's going to get that night, my friend.
Let's see. Best drama, television series, Big Love, Dexter, House, Mad Men, and True Blood.
Uh-huh.
That'll be an interesting category.
At least House is in there.
Best performance by an actress in a TV series, Glenn Close for Damages, January Jones for Mad Men, Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife, Anna Paquin for True Blood, and Keira Sedgwick for The Closer.
Keira Sedgwick's won that award like 6 times or something, hasn't she? A bunch of times?
Yeah.
You know what else? Can we just put this out there real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Is cable an unfair advantage for some of these TV shows? Look at the TV show, best TV shows. Again, read them off again.
Big Love.
Cable.
Dexter.
Cable.
House. Mad Men. You could say cable.
Mad Men's not cable.
It's AMC.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Oh, but
yeah,
that's
Mad
not
Men's AMC.
That's not, but that's not, that's still like, it's cable, but it's still like regular TV. Like,
and True Blood.
No dirty talking, no titties. So, and True Blood, cable. So, 3 of the films have essentially no boundaries.
So, really, it seems to be that the cable dramas do better than the non-cable dramas.
Uh-huh.
But the network comedies...
Really?
Well,
tell that to Thomas Jane and to David Duchovny.
Well, let's talk about... but let's talk about series, though.
Okay.
Best television series, musical or comedy.
Uh-huh.
30 Rock.
Right.
Glee.
Uh-huh.
Modern Family.
Uh-huh.
The Office. And Entourage.
Okay.
It's
so
all
one.
Network except for one.
Right. Okay.
So maybe there's some sort of
point taken
flip-flop there.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the mother shows you can get, you know, violence and language and, you know, sexual situations that you can't put on regular TV. Big Love is all about that.
Are there any other categories that I didn't hit on that you want me to run through real quick?
I don't know. Just Mike, something?
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, we're just giving you a sample of them.
That was a good sample, though.
That was a pretty good sample. So there it is.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back with the wrap-up. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 174. Thomas who?
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What the fuck is happening?
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 174. Thomas who?
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Upcoming Star Wars movie?
Nah.
You don't know.
But Tauntaun sleeping bag all the way.
Banging.
Bill Murray may be a ghost in Ghostbusters 3.
According to Sigourney Weaver.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies starring Natalie Portman.
Hubba Hubba.
Teen Wolf starring no Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolfless.
And apparently Spider-Man will not also be The Hobbit. Frank Miller is going to be doing a 300 prequel called Xerxes, involving a battle that Xerxes was not involved in. And Arkham Asylum 2. We're happy there's an Arkham Asylum 2.
Yay.
In DVDs this week, we talked about Inglourious Basterds, The Hangover,
Star Trek, the original series, Season 3 on the Blu-ray, The Tudors, not available on the Blu-ray, Season 3, Robot Chicken, right. Season 4, also not on the Blu-ray, The Mel Brooks Collection, Blu-ray, and The Max in the Head, exclusive to Amazon, not Blu-ray.
Comics to check out this week include Marvel's Vengeance of the Moon Knight, number 4, Batman 694, Batman 80-page Giant, number 1, and X-Factor 200, which is coincidentally also Giant.
Also, that came out last week, I wanted to just mention quickly, The God Complex, new book by Oeming, and Ghostbusters by IDW.
And also by IDW, The Rocketeer, The Complete Adventures, deluxe oversized slipcase edition. Adorable. Rocketeer fans rejoice. It's at last arrived.
And finally, the Golden Globes have jumped the shark. Enough said.
Yeah, clearly.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, the t-shirts, still for sale. We don't have the commentary. Stop emailing me about the commentary. Okay? 4 emails this last week. We don't have it.
You have really? The commentary?
No.
4 emails?
4.
Damn.
Did they listen to the show?
You people should have still had it.
you people need to find Melody Anderson.
Or Sam Jones.
At a live appearance and ask her, because she has them. So there it is. I know she has some left, and she's selling them at her live appearances.
Rumor has it in the near future we're going to have more live from Studio V. And that other rumor we had about a live show on December 23rd was just that. But we hope to have a live show coming to you shortly after the new year.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you a date this time.
Live show in December. Hopefully. Debunked. Like right. Tobey Maguire in The Hobbit. Debunked.
Right. I actually hear that it was Tobey Maguire that debunked it. So there you go.
Oh, well, tying it all together.
Don't forget it.
And he was our special guest for that show, too. So.
Well, yeah, that's why he debunked it.
Well,
what had happened was we had announced that we were doing a show with him, but we hadn't confirmed him as a guest. And then we had set up a little table, you know, because we were setting up the studio, and we had his little nameplate there.
Right.
We left it up. And then we decided that next year, when someone was going to be interviewing Tobey Maguire for Spider-Man 4, we were going to interview him the same day on
right.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Exactly.
Exactly the same day.
That's how shit gets done around here.
Word. Don't forget, if there's anything you want to talk to us about, you can shoot us an email, bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 425-920-6050.
The voicemail is way more exciting, A, and B, you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And I believe last week we announced the December month-long contest, at least until Christmas time.
Right.
And that is, go over to iTunes, go to the iTunes Music Store, just pop in Geek Stuff. You don't even have to click on podcast anymore. Just Geek Stuff, we're the first thing that comes up.
Yep.
Leave us a review. New reviews.
New reviews.
From last week's episode on.
Right.
Till just after Christmas.
Yep.
Best review, prize from the prize on.
Right. Most creative, concise review.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for here.
Right.
You don't have to like it. You can say the show's shit.
Word.
But you better do it creatively, and you better do it with some flair and finesse.
Also
and
word.
It is a guaranteed wonderful prize.
Sure.
There it is. And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 174, Thomas Who?
I want to do horrific things to Diane Kruger.
And on that note, we cue the music.